Thank God I'm going to Beulah Land one day. Amen. Hallelujah. What a glorious day that'll be. One day I'll spend my last day on this old mud ball. God's going to burn this cursed thing up one day anyway, and hallelujah, I'll be in the New Jerusalem. If you don't like that, your locker's tore up. Go ahead and get your Bibles out, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. We're going to go right back to the verse we looked at last Sunday, because you know I started a series. So let's look at Genesis chapter 28, verse number 12. We'll just look at one verse, Genesis 28, 12. I began a series last Sunday morning. I'm going to preach it a few more times to finish this series on the spiritual ladder. And I got it from this text. And what you have here is you have Jacob. He winds up in a place called Haran. The sun is going down. He decides to sleep there for the night. And that night, Jacob has a dream. And he's going to describe this dream to you. It says in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 12, he dreamed, behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descending on it. Now, we said there were several things this ladder is. First of all, this ladder is a type of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that, but remember, I spiritualized it. I said, I want to take this ladder because it reaches from the earth to heaven. And that's what we're doing. We're on a spiritual pilgrimage. And we get saved, and we get on the ladder, and we start going up that ladder. And I wanted to liken the Christian life to climbing a ladder. And I've had several points so far, and we're going to continue with this. We're trying to go through the progress and the trail that a Christian blazes as he's walking on this earth and living a Christian life. And there's a lot of comparisons you can make to it to climbing a ladder. If you remember, I said that you got to get on the ladder to climb it. Now, that means you get saved. You're not working for your salvation. You're not climbing up that ladder and going up the rough side of the mountain, I said, and trying to work your way to heaven. You don't do good works to get saved. You don't do good works to stay saved. You ought to do good works because you're saved. So I get on the ladder by putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I said, it takes effort to climb a ladder. Remember that? It's always, you just need to make your mind up. It's never going to be easy to live for God. It's going to take some effort. The world, the flesh, and the devil is always going to be coming up against you, trying to stifle your Christian growth as you move up the ladder for God. I said, it's hard to get up a ladder when you're carrying weights. Remember that? And we have the weights of sin in our life, and sometimes we have weights in our life in that it's not necessarily a sin, but the way we use it is a sin, and it's keeping us, it's choking out the life that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's choking it out. It's choking it out with the cares of this world. You try to go up the ladder with a bundle of shingles on your shoulder or a nail bucket or a carpenter's belt full of stuff, and it's much harder than when you go up the ladder without anything. Then I spent a lot of time last Sunday night on you cannot skip any steps. When you're going up that ladder, you're not long-legged enough to skip for one rung, skip over another rung and go up the next one. It is designed in your Christian walk that God wants us to take one rung at a time because we have a lesson we need to learn on that rung. We have something that God wants to do with us. And before we can advance in our Christian life, we have to learn that lesson and let God speak to us and be willing to step up on that rung. And remember what I also said? I said, you can't be willing to double up and say, I'll step on these rungs up here and I'll step on that one. And those rungs up there are fine. I just don't want this rung. You can't do that as a Christian. You can't get to those rungs till you step on the rung that God wants you to get on. And so that's where we're at right now. We're climbing the spiritual ladder. I'm just making some spiritual application as we go on in our Christian life. I'm likening your Christian walk and your Christian life to a fella climbing a ladder, making comparisons. I want to do a few more this morning and tonight. Brother Jonathan, would you pray for the message? And everybody can be seated. Amen. 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 Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. First point this morning, I want to say this. When you're on the ladder, don't look down. How about that? How many of you in here would be honest enough to say, Brother Dennis, I'm scared of heights? Okay, we got a few people. Some of you ain't got enough sense to be scared of heights, but some of you, amen. But you say, I'm scared of heights. And what do they tell you when you're going up a ladder, you're going up something high if you're scared of heights? What is the number one rule if you're scared of heights and you're going up high? Don't look down. That's right. What will happen if I'm scared of heights? And because if I'm scared of heights, let's just put it like this. If I'm scared of heights, there's a place that I want to be. Back on the ground, right? So if I'm scared of heights and I'm climbing a ladder and there's a place I want to be, back on the ground. Amen. That's right. Me and you, we got that. I don't like heights either. I'm not worried about the rapture. Jesus won't drop me, okay? But I want to be back on the ground. What's going to happen if I'm climbing that ladder and I get to looking back at that ground very often and just studying it? What am I going to do? I'm going to get scared, but I'm going back down to the ground. The longer you look at that ground, the longer you look back, the more you're going to be thinking about, man, it's nice on the ground. It's flat on the ground. It's not scary on the ground. I'm comfortable on the ground. I like some things on the ground. You know what the application is, don't you? When you start climbing that ladder for the Lord Jesus Christ, you better not be looking back at that stinking world.
Yeah.
You know what you'll do? When you're climbing that ladder, you know what you do? Sometimes you get to thinking about, you know, some of that stuff was fun. I know it's wicked and I know it's wrong, but it's fun. And I sure didn't have all these heartaches when I was out of church, you know, because sometimes when you start trying to serve the Lord, you know that all hell comes up against you. Amen. And I sort of miss some of this and some of that. And everybody else seems to be having all this fun. And I'm still young and I'm trying to live for God. And I just miss some of that stuff out in the world. Every once in a while, the devil will come along and allure you with some of that stuff. And what you want to do is you want to go back down. Once you go up that ladder and you start climbing, don't be looking back. Don't be thinking about that earth. Don't be thinking about that world. That's what God saved you out of. When you got saved, he put you on the ladder and he said, all right, boy, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go up. I want you to get closer to me. And I want you to get farther away from that stinking world.
Right.
What's that? I've heard this gospel song. It says, Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. A lot of truth to that. He saved you and he took us out of Egypt, but we still got some Egypt in us. We want to go back in that world. When you're climbing that ladder and you're trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trying to go on your Christian life, you've got to stay away from that world. You can't be fantasizing about that world. You can't be thinking about that world. You don't need to be talking about that stuff. There's some of that stuff you don't even bring up. And again, I get tired of these people. When you ask them to give a testimony, they almost brag about how wicked they were. I can't speak for nobody else in here, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm very, very embarrassed about my time spent out in a far country.
Oh, man.
That's been years ago, and I'm trying to live for God, and I still have images in my mind and smells and things I heard and things I touched.
Amen.
And I bow my head with the most sincere heart you can have as a human and try to pray, and that junk comes back in my mind. And then you got some sucker get up there and give his testimony and talk about how God saved him out all of it. He'll give you a 20-minute testimony. In 15 minutes, he talks about all the junk he did. In 5 minutes, he talks about Christ saving him. He's glorifying that mess in his life. There's something wrong with you when you do that.
Amen.
If you're a man in here, you ought to desire to go back to when you're 18 and 20 years old. But there's something wrong, wickedly wrong with you if you want to go back to when you're 18 and 20 years old so you can have energy to do wickedness again. I like to go back when I was 18 and 20 years old so I can have energy to do right.
Yeah.
I like to be 14 and 15 and 16 years old and know then what I know now and not fool with some of that stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Because you don't realize as you get older, that stuff stays with you.
Right.
Oh yeah, God will forgive you. God will restore the fellowship. You can get right. You can move on and do something for God. I know that. But listen, if you think you're just going to quote 1 John 1:9 and just it all be over with, you're crazy. He'll restore your fellowship, but there'll still be reaping. There's always reaping. You'll never get away from it. When you get saved, what I want of some of these young people sitting out here, I want you to get saved and get on that ladder and go for the Lord Jesus Christ and never look back. Don't ever look back. I got saved young. I hit about 12. Just terrible. Now, I wasn't in church, and my mom and daddy didn't take me to church, and I didn't have a pastor and all that, but it's terrible. And you can do some wicked things at 12 years old. You can do some things at 12 years old people ought not be doing when they're 30. Get around the right defilement. And it's a lot easier for you young people to do wicked. I used to have to hide mine and sneak around and do my wicked. Now it's all over the place. You need to listen, parents. This ain't got nothing to do with my message, but I just want to tell you something. If you think it's a good idea to have your 12-year-old boy have a computer by himself in his room, you've lost your ever-loving mind. I don't know who told you that's fine, but somebody told you a lie. Well, my 12-year-old boy, he's just in there looking up, you know, sports programs and racing cars and shotguns. No, he's not. No, he's not. Don't help him do wicked and sin. When you're on the ladder, don't look down. You know what the Bible said over there in Luke 17:32? Remember Lot's wife. You know what she did? She's going out of that wicked city, Sodom, and she looks back. And God turns her into a pillar of salt. You know what God's instruction was? He said, this place is wicked. This place is vile. I'm going to burn the whole thing up. I want you to leave the city and don't look back. You go on to something else. Luke 9:62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what? When you put your hand to the plow and you say, God's got me out in this field plowing, it's time to plow, don't be looking back. Look forward. You get to looking back too much, you're going to get to plowing like this. You need to keep your straight line and go with it.
Yeah.
Some of you are that far away from messing up. Some of you are going to mess up big. And I tell you, we got some people that's already messed up big, and they're not here this morning. And you know what they did? They got saved just like you. They probably loved the Lord just like you. They probably were just as sincere as you. But something back in that world kept coming in their mind, kept getting in there. Finally, it got in their heart, and they were around people they shouldn't have been around, and they were going to places they shouldn't have been going to, and they listened to things and watching things they shouldn't, and it brought up those memories, and it brought up those desires, and it brought up that past life. And you know what? It got to getting scary going up that ladder. It wasn't comfortable as it used to be, and it was more work, and I was having trouble, and I was having problems, and I kept looking back down on the earth where everybody seemed to be not panicking like I am up here on the ladder. They're having fun. They're enjoying it. Is it even worth all this?
Yeah.
You know what you started doing? One step at a time. Coming down. You know why you came down? You're looking too much down on the ground instead of looking up. Set your affections on things above.
Amen.
Now, things down on the earth. You know what? I'm preaching to somebody now. I'm fixing to move on to the next point, but listen to me. I believe I'm preaching to somebody here. You are this far from really messing up this morning. You're fixing to get out. You're fixing to get in trouble. You're fixing to do something very wicked. You're going to ruin your marriage. You're going to ruin your family. You're going to ruin your testimony. You better listen to this message. God's warning you. Get your eyes off of the world and put it on the Savior and go up.
Amen.
The same heartache in that world that caused you to turn to Christ is still down there. Don't let the devil lie to you.
That's right.
It's still bad. It's still wicked. It's still heartache. It's still reaping. The devil just brings up the things that brought you some pleasure. The Bible does say the pleasure of sin, it is pleasurable, but it says for a season. There's a season of enjoyment, then there's just a whole lot of seasons of reaping. You need to understand that. But when you're on a ladder, don't look down. Number two, I want to say this morning. On this ladder, there's people above you and below you. And you ought to be encouraging them. When you're on this ladder, I've got people below me on their Christian walk, and I've got people above me. There's all kind of people on different spiritual levels on this spiritual ladder we're talking about as we live for the Lord. And there's people that's just getting saved. Some people have been saved for 5 years. Some people have been saved 10 years. Some people have been saved 20 years. Some people have been saved 40, 50 years. Some people are very spiritually mature. Some people aren't. There are different levels on this ladder. There's people below me, and there's people above me. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 3:13? It says to exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. Do you know what you ought to be when you're in your Christian walk? Don't be so selfish that we don't think about other people on the ladder. Now, most of this message is about you climbing the ladder and you going up that ladder for the Lord Jesus Christ and you being pleasing to Him. But remember, there's other people on the ladder. And part of you climbing the ladder successfully in God's eyes, I believe, is helping other people climb the ladder.
Yeah.
When I'm on that ladder, there's people below me. You know what they ought to be doing? They ought to be exhorting me. Go on, Brother Dennis. Don't quit, Brother Dennis. Don't get discouraged, Brother Dennis. Tempted by the world. Don't turn your back. Keep going for Christ. Exhorting and building me up and encouraging me. You know what I ought to do? I'll look at people up there ahead of me. Maybe they're in their 60s. Maybe they're in their 70s. They're in a whole new season of their life. They've been pastoring and preaching 40 and 50 years. And I'm to look up at them and say, keep going, brother. We're looking at you. We're learning from you. We need you. We need your leadership. You can do it. Keep going. Don't let the age get you. Don't let temptation get you. Don't let success knock you out. Keep going on. There needs to be some encouragement going on. That's one of the greatest things you can do in the body of Christ is to encourage and exhort one another. It doesn't go on enough. We're just so fixated on our own selves. What you're wanting is somebody to encourage you. Well, when's the last time you encouraged somebody else? There's people down there below you, and you may have to reach down there every once in a while. You cannot climb that ladder for them. They have to climb the ladder, and you can't make them climb the ladder. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can stop on your run for a little bit and look down there and say, hey, I'll help you, man. You need to come on. I want you to come up like I am. I know you got trouble right now. I know it's tough. I want you to come on with me. There needs to be some exhorting on that ladder. You know what you need to do? Now, you may say, I can't believe you're saying this because everybody talks about how mean I am as a preacher. I don't understand that. Brother Lee can't have my friend was here the other night. He's a great, you saw how good a preacher he is. A good friend of mine. He said, Brother Dennis, you're the hardest preacher I ever heard. I said, really? He said that one time. But I'm going to tell you. When people fall out of church and people get sidetracked and people get out of the will of God, I know there comes a time where they need to be confronted. I know there comes a time when you need to sit down and say, look, you're making bad choices. You're fixing to mess you and your family up. You're going to mess your children. I know all that. But you know, sometimes what people need, first of all, they just need a little encouragement. How many of you ever got sidetracked and fell out of church for a while? Anybody in here honest enough to say it?
Yeah.
How many of you just, it wasn't anything you intended, but the cares of life came up against you and everything got rough and you just sort of fell by the wayside? Anybody like that? Now, wasn't it good if it did happen? If it didn't happen, I'm sorry. But wasn't it good when that did happen that nobody called you hollering and screaming and carrying on and getting on to you? That somebody would call you and say, hey, we've been missing you in church. We sure would like to see you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I've been praying for you. I miss your smiling face. We love you. We'd like for you to come back. Sometimes that's just what people need.
Right, yeah.
I know I get up here and I preach hard and I blast you and all that kind of stuff, but let me tell you something. There's another element to it. People need encouraging. We need to be about encouraging folks. I hope that you will know as the years go by and I continue to be your pastor that in my personal life, you may not see it as much in my preaching, but in my personal life with the way I interact with my people and interact with families, I try to be heavily involved in encouraging people. I believe that's a great ministry of a pastor to encourage his people
right.
And try to exhort his people. And sometimes we just need a little push, don't we? Sometimes we just need a little push. When I'm walking there at home, there's a great big hill we have to go up and go down. Once I can get up that hill, I'm fine. Every once in a while when I'm walking up that hill, I ain't walking too fast until I get down it. And sometimes I'm thinking, well, maybe Darby just needs to walk behind me and push me up the hill. Y'all see, I'm taller than my wife, but my height is in my torso. I'm a short-legged joker. My wife's got long legs. It's hard to walk with her. Not to mention the fact that she's a competitive woman and she loves being able to outdo me in anything. And she said that she's not doing that, but I guarantee you one thing. Every time we walk, we're getting that last stretch, getting back to our house. And if we're sort of neck and neck, she automatically picks up the pace. She's just trying to exercise. Yeah, right. She's puffed up and full of pride, and she wants to outwalk me. And she does it. Nothing I can do about it. Amen. But you need to be encouraging people. People need encouraging. A few months ago when I had my little episode, it was the prayers and the encouragement of the saints got me through. People let me know they care about me. It's good to know people care about me. I know technically all we need is Jesus. I believe that.
Yeah.
I know that. Boy, it's piece of cake, but the icing on the cake is the brethren encouraging you and exhorting you. Some of you sitting in this church this morning, you say, what can I do? I don't preach, I don't teach, I can't sing. These people, man, that was great singing. Some of you say, I can't sound like that. What can I do? Be an encourager. People come in this church every Sunday with their hearts tore up.
Man.
You don't know what kind of week they had. You don't know what kind of phone call they had before they got here. You don't know what's going on in their life.
Right.
And if you can do nothing more than meet them at the door and smile at them and give them a hug and shake their hand and say, man, we're glad to see you. And it not be some kind of fake pipe, you know, acting all fake. And all, you really mean it. You smile because you really feel joy in seeing them. You know what that'll do for people? Especially if they had a hard week. You never know when you're going to stand at that back door and meet somebody in there saying, I tell you what, I'm going, but if God don't do something today or somebody don't reach out to me or even act like they care at Holy Hills, I ain't coming back. Maybe God's saying to you, go up and encourage. Go up and speak. Go up and tell them you're praying for them.
Yeah.
When you're on the ladder, you better not get so selfish and self-centered, worrying about you climbing the ladder that you forget all those below you and above you that climb the ladder. I got one more point this morning. My most important. And I think it's my most encouraging point. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God you don't climb the ladder by yourself.
Yeah.
Did you remember that passage we read back over there when we started out? That thing said that there was angels ascending and descending on that ladder. There were spiritual beings going up and down that ladder. That ladder is actually a type of Christ. So Christ is the ladder of spiritual beings going up and down the ladder. And the Bible says that God's up there where the ladder goes into heaven. He's sitting up there at the top of the ladder. He's all over the ladder. He is the ladder. He's at the top of the ladder. He's just stuff going on up and down the ladder. You know what's comforting to me? What's comforting to me is that God said, you need to get saved, you need to get on the ladder, and you need to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I haven't done that with God. He's done it with me. He said, I'm going to indwell you, and I'm going to give you the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the indwelling power of God. Greater is He that's within you than He's within the world. Amen. That means that there's potential in there. You may not act upon it, but at least there's potential of you to do something inside of you. He said, you're not going through any of these terrible rungs or the joyous rungs or the grievous rungs, whatever they are. The higher you get, I'm going to be with you. I'm climbing that ladder with you.
Man.
If we had to climb the ladder by ourselves, we would look down and turn around and go back. If we climbed the ladder by ourselves, we wouldn't make it very far. If we climbed the ladder by ourselves, we certainly wouldn't be concerned about nobody else on it.
That's right.
Who do you think is in your heart telling you, reach out to these other people on their Christian walk and try to help them, be an encouragement to them? That's the Holy Ghost of God in you telling you that.
Yeah.
We need them. I'm not in this thing by myself. Would any of you be honest this morning and say, Brother Dennis, been trying to climb lately, but I'm at a place, and I've even said this to God, I can't do it. I've tried to go on. I've tried to get past this. I've tried to get a victory over it. I can't do it. Now listen. You are exactly right. And now you can take another step. You can't do it. There are steps on that ladder you'll never climb on your own.
That's right.
As much as you desire to, you will not be able to do it. Your flesh can't do it.
Right.
There's somebody living within you that can.
Amen.
And there's going to be some times on that ladder where it's something you're addicted to, some kind of problem, some kind of situation, whatever it is. And you're going to be helpless and hopeless to move on. And God put that wrong in your life on purpose. He's trying to show you something. He's trying to show you something. What He wants you to do is to bow your head before Him and say, God, I can't move on my own. This thing has whipped me. It's just about destroyed me. And let God speak to you through His Word where He tells you, don't worry about it.
Right.
You're not climbing this ladder by yourself. Oh, and by the way, you're not climbing this ladder based on your own strength. I'm the one giving you the strength to climb. I am the ladder. I've designed the ladder. I've designed the rungs. I've designed the speed. I've designed what's on each rung for you. I'm in you, and I'm the one that's going to help you get up.
Amen.
You know what some of you need to do this morning? In a moment, we're going to have a hymn invitation. And what some of you need to do is to get up here to this altar and bow your head, close your eyes, and tell God how weak you are. It's been a long time since you've done that. You need to bow your head and say, God, I'm weak. Left on my own, I'm going to back down this thing. If you leave me on my own and you don't help me today, Lord, going back down the ladder, I'm going into the world. If you don't help me, Lord, I'm never going to advance. I'm not going any farther. I'm going any farther. Put yourself on the mercy of God and say, God, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said you'd seal me until the day of redemption. You're inside of me. I have the indwelling power of Christ living in me. God, give me the strength to climb this ladder. Because again, I want to remind you that one day when that ladder ends up in heaven, the Bible says that God's up there at the top of that ladder. What's going to happen one day is all of us are going to climb that ladder, and it's all of us in here that are saved, it's going to end in the same place, right at the judgment seat of Christ. And if there's anybody that wants you to do good at the judgment seat of Christ, it's Jesus Christ. But you're not going to do good at the judgment seat of Christ without the indwelling power of Christ. We're climbing that ladder. Some of you are just about ready to go back down. It's going to be the worst mistake you ever made. Worst mistake you ever made. You better stay on that ladder. You're better being afraid, and you're better thinking you're missing out, and you're better going through whatever pain you're going through on that ladder right now than to get back down in that world and mess your life up.
That's right.
And some of you are saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I've tried. I've tried. I've tried. I implore you this morning, come up this altar and tell God that. He already knows it, but He wants to hear you say it. Tell Him you're weak. Tell Him you have no power to do it. Tell Him you know, you say, God, I know I'm destined for failure. You don't come help me today. I'll never go up another rung if you don't help me. He's climbing it with you. Now let Him climb it through you. Every head bowed, eye closed.